Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Q4 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Joshi from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Lizanne. Good afternoon, one and all. On behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers Limited, I welcome you all to fourth quarter FY18 Agrotech Foods Limited earnings call. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Sachin Gopal and Mr. Arijit Dutta. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Sachin for the open remarks and for the call.
Okay. Thank you, Aditya, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking the time out to be with us on the call today. As usual, we'll try and go through quickly the highlights of the P&L to give you the background or what's behind the total numbers, and then we can have a Q&A. So in total, as you would have seen, we had a net sales growth of about 1%, right? 813 versus about 809 crores. Broadly, what this consists of is about a 25 crore increase in our foods business. If you recall, our foods business last year in total was about 171 crores, 171 and a bit. That grew last year in FY18 to about 196.5, right? So there was about a 25 crore increase in our total revenue from the food business, right? From the traditional trade, which is the high-frequency stores and the modern retail over in total. And however, in the tax-exempt channels, right, which is, you know, which is things like CSD, CPC, other canteens, so on and so forth, which were fairly seriously disrupted by GST last year, there was also about a corresponding decrease in that ballpark, right, in the total business, oils, foods, everything put together. So 25 crores up, broadly speaking, on the foods business, and 25 crores down approximately in the tax-exempt channels. And as a consequence, we ended up pretty much flat as far as the total year business is concerned. In terms of category-wise growth, we'll try and give you the perspective both for the year and for the quarter. And where relevant, we'll just give you a perspective, you know, without the tax-exempt channels. So in terms of the drivers of our business, what drove really the business up to our foods business up to close to 200 crores, which is a reasonable number now. It's a number where I think the business is, you know, starting to get scale and where we can therefore look for other benefits of scale. We grew the peanut butter business by about 62% in revenue. Corresponding to that, the volume growth for the year was about 94%. So in other words, we more or less doubled the volumes of peanut butter last year. The bagged snacks business grew in total by about 48%, right? So let's say close to a 50-odd% growth in the bagged snacks business. And the volume growth, again, in this case, will be in the high 50s. It'll be 55, probably closer to 60%. The ready-to-cook business was the softest in all of our three segments. And this was driven largely by the fact that the tax-exempt channels actually saw a severe, very serious decline. And this is the only segment which got impacted by that. So in total, it was up, therefore, only about 1% for the year, right, with a volume growth of about 4%. If you exclude the tax-exempt channels, the figure is more likely to be in the high single-digit range, right? So in the 6%-8% range, if you will. In total, therefore, the foods business saw growth of about 15%. And if you take away the tax-exempt channels, it will be in the region of about 20% for the year, right? So the underlying growth remained very, very strong. We're, I think, in good shape. We're in about the 20%-odd range, now almost close for the second year running. Last year was, in fact, somewhere between 15% and 20%, if I remember correctly, probably about 18% if you looked at, you know, the underlying consumer business. So that seems to be tracking in the right direction. And now we will see how do we accelerate further to go on beyond the 20%, as I mentioned in the last quarter report when I told you that we will wait to see what the full year results are. So looking good. We'll see now what to do as far as, you know, to try and get to the next milestone, which, you know, after 20%, we should look at 30% and see how do we progress towards that. In terms of the other components of the business, In the oils business, in Sunrock Oils, total revenues were down about 3% and volume was down, was up about 2%. Of this, about 500 basis points difference, you can assume that about between 200 and 250 basis points difference is coming about due to the fact that we also reduced prices, right? And the balance will be due to changes in product mix, right? And in terms of the crystal business, that was virtually flat. Volumes were up about 2%, revenues was down minus 1%. So again, some impact on pricing, nothing significant, but you can argue it is pretty much flattish, right? And our vending business as well remained almost flattish, margin efficient, but it's now a very small part of our business. Out of our 200-odd crore business, it will probably be about 4-4.5%. So it doesn't really materially change. From now on, it will not change materially change our results to any significant manner. If I take the same numbers for the quarter, which I'm sure you guys will ask, so I'll give it to you in advance. For quarter four, peanut butter continued to grow very strongly. We saw 42% growth in revenue and 73% growth in volume. Bag snacks as well grew pretty strongly at about 40-odd% for the quarter. So good growth momentum on both peanut butter and bag snacks, right? And volume growth as well on bag snacks would have been higher, probably it would be in the 50-odd% range, maybe high 40s, low 50. And ready-to-cook business was also relatively flattish for the quarter, replicating the trend for the entire year where, you know, we saw the impact of the top stacks in some channels. And that's why for the quarter specifically, total net sales are higher. Driven by the fact that on Sunrock Oils, we saw revenues again flattish at about plus 1% with volumes up about 9% for the quarter. I would treat that as a flattish performance. And Crystal was, however, a little up. It went up by about 10% in revenue and about that in terms of volume. So contributing in total to a 5-odd% growth in revenues. So to put it all, to summarize it, therefore, I say I'd come back to the first statement that I made earlier in the afternoon, which is solid foods growth of about 15% in total, taking all channels into account, about 20-odd% if you take the tax exam channels. Significant impact as far as GST is concerned on our tax exam channels, which is true both for us and for many other companies. And the first offset the second, and in total, therefore, revenues were about flat at about 1% growth. Okay. Coming to the balance lines of the P&L, I'll go through the individual lines, and then I also give some commentary on gross margin. Right. So as you can see here, really the highlights are that if you look at advertising and promotion expenses, and you see if the figure is about 3242, so it's about 32.5 crores versus about 41.3 crores in the prior year. So that's a difference of 9 crores. This 9 crores you can interpret in the following way. 3 crores you need to remove from the base as being non-comparable because last year's base includes service tax, right, which we used to pay. Right. So the impact of that on the A&P expenses is 3 crores. So in other words, out of the 9 crores, you can take away 3 crores as not being comparable like for like. That means, in effect, there was a reduction in our A&P expenses for the year of about 6 crores. Of these 6 crores, if you go up to the line on employee benefits, you will see that we've invested about 3.3 crores thereabouts on more employee benefits, right? So part of this 6 crores went to fund actually the feet on street. This entire amount of 3 crores is all spent on feet on street. So we have closed the year last year now with approximately 500 people on our subsidiary company, which is Sunrock Foods India Limited. All these 500 people's only job is to actually do frontline selling, right? So they're not supervisory positions. They're actually taking stock from our distributors and selling that stock in the market. It could be through ready stock. Mostly it will be ready stock. In some cases, also it could be order booking. And So we today have a very powerful network of these 500 people, which gives us, you know, excellent coverage because they're all company people employed by our subsidiary company, so we're able to dictate their priorities, so on and so forth, right? And the balance 3 crores is really lower brand investment, if you will, which we have used because we also had a margin impact on much of the sales that we lost in the top tax exam channels. So that was actually a reduction in A&P, which we hope that we should be able to reinstate as we progress and the business normalizes across the channels. As a consequence to that, you can see that Our total profit before exceptional items and tax increased by about 20% from about 40.5 crores to about close to 49 crores, right? And the reason is that, you know, there was an exceptional item in the prior year of about 4.2 crores, which is the refund of the slump sale and the benefit of the interest payout, or interest to be returned to us on that. Profit before tax, therefore, was up by about 9 to 10%, right? Up from about 44.7 crores to about 48.8 crores. And profit after tax, as a consequence, was up by about 14% up from about 28 crores to about 30 or 32 odd crores. So that's the results as far as the highlights, or, you know, walking you through the elements of the P&L. Other than that, there are no specific pieces in the P&L that we feel is necessary from our side to point out. We are not commenting on the gross margin, which we used to earlier, because the gross margin is very much let's say distorted by the fact that there's been a lot of pass-ons also as a consequence of the changes in GST. So the figures per se are not comparable. So for now, I would say if we just look at this P&L, that's adequate. As and when, after one or two quarters, we are able to see all the comparability of the figures, then we'll come back to it. But meanwhile, of course, you'll be doing your own mathematics on that. In terms of competitive scenario, I think we continue to be well placed in the category of in the categories in which we have chosen to compete, which is namely at this point in time ready to cook popcorn, peanut butter bags and bag snacks, right? I think we are successfully continuing to defend our position on edible oils. As is usual, we'll try and walk you through the spend, because it's the end of the year. So we'll try and give you a perspective on what actually happened in these categories. You are aware that we don't buy any retail audit information, but we do have media updates for each of these categories in terms of competitive spending. So I'll walk you through category by category on each of these. So we'll start off first with oils. The total category saw a spend of about 525 crores in FY18, and that is up from about 385 crores in last year, right, in FY17. The FY17 numbers you will find in the analyst presentation in November, and prior years, of course, also you will find it. So in total, therefore, there was a significant spend, which is reflective of any category with low barriers to entry, and therefore, you know, the ability for new players to enter. Our spend remained low. We spent about 2 crores in the category, right? And main spenders in the category, the highest figure was by Emami. They spent about 121 crores. They were followed by Patanjali, which spent about 97. They were followed by Fortune, which spent about 67. And then Saffola, which spent about 59 odd crores, right? This spending is only on edible oils, so it excludes the 28 odd crores that, say, Saffola would spend on breakfast cereals. And the last was a new kid on the block, which is the Wagga Wagga, which spent about 8 crores, right? So that's the total picture of edible oils. We think that this will not slow down. We think intensity will continue. And for any player to maintain their share of voice, they will have to keep upping the ante, will keep getting up, right? From our point of view, we have made our choices as far as this category is concerned, so we expect to continue to be in this relatively modest level of spending, right? I'm sure at some stage we will, you know, virtually be able to shift all our resources as we become more of a foods company. As you would have done the maths, this year about 24.4% of our sales, so a quarter of our sales has actually come from foods, right? So that's a pretty big milestone, and we had said that if you recall in the last quarter, we had said we definitely seem to be in that 25% range, and we are there. And we therefore, it's only a matter of time before, over time, we move virtually 100% of our resources behind the foods business. I'm not sure exactly when that will happen, but for sure, as we progress to, you know, the next goal certainly for us is to move our food business from 25% of our business to 30% of the business. And then as we get to 40 and 50, that time will also come. So that's the review as far as the oil spending for last year is concerned. If you look at the snack spending, we maintained a reasonable share of spend. It was a little lower than prior year because we did reduce some amount of A&P. We spent about 8 crores in the year. And at this level, we were about the fifth largest spender in the category. So the total category spend was about 309 crores, right? So that is also up. Last year, FY 2017, the spend was about 195 crores, right? So it shows that, you know, we continue to see more spending. And the number one largest spending was IDC with Bingo, which spent about 96 crores. Number two was Frito-Lay, which spent about 76 crores. Number three was Yellow Diamond, which is Prakash Snacks, which spent about 15. Number four was 2Yum, which is the brand launched by Spencer's, which is about 14 crores, and we were number five at about 8 crores. We expect to continue to be able to sustain at levels of about 10-12 crores in terms of media spending on the brand, and that's, we feel, is kind of will be reasonable, right? And reasonable enough for us to support our growth ambitions, which, as you can see, we are now starting to do very well in terms of bagged snacks and but also in terms of ready-to-cook. Okay, and the third category, which we compete in is spreads, so with peanut butter. So the spreads category also saw a reasonable amount of spending, but not such a great uplift as edible oils also, or to an extent, even what the snacks category saw. So the total category spending in FY 2018 was about 110 crores. This compares with about 96 crores in FY 2017, right? The single largest investor in the spender in the category was Kissan Unilever, with about 51 crores. Number two was Patanjali, with about 18 crores. Number three was Dabur, also with about 18 crores, just a little shy of Patanjali. Number four was Hershey's. Hershey's has really increased their spending over the last year or so, right behind chocolate, behind the chocolate spend. So they were at number four with about 16 crores, and we were number five in the category with about 3 odd crores of spending, right? So overall, I would say, in the categories in which we compete, which is basically spreads and snacks, we are maintaining a reasonable spending. We probably need to be a little higher, right? Because we did do some amount of moderation in A&P, because we did come under margin pressure as a consequence of all that happened last year. But as things, you know, normalize, we expect to also, you know, be there. We're not that far off, just a little far off, but we are okay. All right. So I think with that, we have concluded all the comments around the P&L. In terms of the balance sheet, not a lot to report. As we mentioned to you in the last quarter, we, you know, we turned into cash positive for the by the end of the year. And you can see that reflective in our bank balances, right? Which is in excess of 20 crores plus. And let me see. Inventories also have come down, and that's largely driven by the fact that we've been, you know, we are the largest, single largest component of this inventory figure has been corn, and we've been steadily working our way through much of the corn that we had. We've now got a full supply chain of alternate supplies. As you know, over the last 2 years, we were moving away from supplies only from Argentina, which was the position about more than 2-3 years ago. Today, we supply from, we source from a number of countries. I won't be able to state which countries they are, but we've done that. Plus, we have our own corn processing facility in-house, in India, in Gujarat. So that enables us to take all the corn that's coming in, process it, check that it meets all our quality parameters, sort out anything that's not appropriate, and then forward it to the other plants in bulk format for packing. So, puts us in good shape there. And let me just check with Arijit whether there's any other elements from the balance sheet that we need to call out.
No, it's in the first year of Ind AS adoption, so that we have done.
Right.
So this is also the first year of Ind AS adoption as per the Schedule 2 of this thing. So we have adopted Ind AS and reported the financial numbers. So previous year's numbers has been regrouped accordingly. And so both the opening balance sheet and the balance sheet as of first of April has been restated. And therefore, the reconciliation of those numbers have also been provided in the accompanying notes. So that's what.
Good. Thanks, Arijit. So I think, Aditya, that's it from our side, and, you know, we'll hand it over to you, and we'll take any questions if there are.
Yeah, sure, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Anuj Gupta from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon, go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, I've got a few questions, so I'll just list them down together. So the first is, could you please share the revenue breakup and distribution reach in number of stores for branded food business, namely ready-to-cook and eat popcorns, peanut butter and nachos, to your best estimate? As we know, you don't buy Nielsen data. The second question is, could you give some color on how various new flavors of ready-to-eat popcorn are doing? Sample survey is done by us in NCR area in modern trade outlets. We still don't see entire range of ready-to-eat popcorn flavors on the shelves. And the third is, you have indicated in last few calls about launching some Indian snacks. So could you give some details for the same?
Sure. Thanks, Anuj. So thank you, Anuj, and thank you also for, you know, clubbing them all together, so it makes it easier for us. We appreciate that. All right. So I'm not going to repeat all the revenue figures because, you want the revenue? I've already given you the...
Yeah, can you give the distribution?
Yeah, so I'll concentrate on, you know, on what I think we can share. And on the numbers, because part of it I've already given, but balance I'll give you. So in terms of distribution, yes, you're absolutely correct that, you know, we don't buy any Nielsen. Our best estimate on the distribution figures is our instant popcorn will now be available in about 270,000 stores. Our peanut butter would be available in excess of 70,000 stores, and our tortilla chips would be available in about 42,000 stores, right? The total coverage we estimate has this year now gone up to about 4 lakh stores. So in other words, the total number of retail stores that are under coverage are about 4 lakh stores, right? That's driven obviously by a strong feet on street activation, right? And I would say in versus progress, we saw good progress both on peanut butter and on instant popcorn and on nachos. However, on nachos, it could have been much more, but we were actually constrained by product supplies for most of the year. We've just installed the second line of nachos now. So you can expect that over the next 6 months, when we report back to you, 6 months or 1 year, you can expect to see a significant jump in peanut butter and a more moderate jump in nachos, a more moderate jump in peanut butter, and continued increase in instant popcorn. In terms of your sample pickups of ready-to-eat popcorn, this is for sure, this is likely to happen. See, ready-to-eat popcorn is a very complex category. As we have mentioned to you earlier and several times, this is going to be a big category. Worldwide is probably much bigger today certainly bigger than ready-to-cook. But it's also a fragmented category, right? Because it has relatively low barriers to entry in terms of capital expenditure. And therefore, you can see a number of players, number of offerings. Many of our modern trade customers will experiment with private labels, right? All of this is going on. We estimate that we are in good shape now that we have a kind of national plant network. If we hadn't done that and made that choice, we would actually, you know, would not have been in a comfortable position. So you are likely to see that. There may be stores where you will see butter and salted, but you will not see the others because the store itself might be choosing to buy, you know, push their own private label. That's a possibility. And many of our customers will experiment, right? There will always be the desire to experiment, either with a private label or with somebody else who's offering a better margin. But they finally come back to us, right? Because to deliver consistently on a national basis, the full range of flavors across the country, today we are the only people with it, right? In fact, what we are also finding is it's like a sweet spot. So let me clarify, and this is applicable to ready-to-eat popcorn, but it's applicable to all batch snacks. You see, we have, in the snacks category, we have basically today two big established players, right? There's Frito-Lay and IDC. You can see that from the spend figures. Both of these companies have good distribution, right? They would have better distribution than us, right? They'll probably have distribution. If we have a coverage of 400,000 stores, they will have a coverage of between 800,000 and 1 million stores, right, for snacks. So their coverage is good. However, being larger than us, they are also less agile, right? The amount of offerings, the way we have been able to launch tortilla chips, if you think about it, you know, probably one of the larger players could have been active and much more active in the earlier years. Then there are the smaller niche players, right, which is people with limited distribution reach, right? So Green Dot Foods is an example. They did a great job on Cornitos, right? And there are other smaller niche players on popcorn who are trying to establish themselves. But however, their reach is limited. Their reach will only be in the, you know, top 20,000, 30,000 stores, something like that. And then there are the more mass-based players, right, who are competing on the basis of, you know, not a formal, proper retailing network, but more which is, if you will, deal-based. I'll give you a good margin, you keep that margin and you sell it on, right? So, which is not built on the back of retailing, right? So, a good example of that would be, let's say, a company like Pratap Snacks, built up tremendous scale reasonably quickly. However, the bottom part, the mass part, struggles with good retailing, because good retailing needs a huge infrastructure and a fairly significant investment, right? It's several tens of crores of year, several tens of crores that you're investing per year to build up a strong distribution network in the top 3 to 5 lakh stores, right? So I think we are in a medium happy spot where we are more agile than the biggest guys, and we have a retail coverage which is much better than the mass space player. So we're able to leverage that we find we're getting growth, right? Otherwise, we would not have got that 50-odd% growth rate that we've got in Max Snacks. So you can expect us to continue to see very, very strong growth in Max Snacks, and that will be driven for the reason that we've driven. It won't only be flavors, right? And many of these challenges and the points that you made just now about A flavor will be available, B will not be available, that's a reality. That's going to happen, right? In fact, backpack is a very difficult category to maintain even a good full rate in the with modern trade. We got a customer report just now for the month of February where we were actually the number one foods company in terms of fill rate. And that's a big deal even with backpack, because they are difficult to manage. Even the best in class can't actually manage that so well. Okay. Lastly, on Indian snacks, see, this is a facilitator for us. If I said this earlier, I'd like to repeat it at the cost of making myself, of why we are doing it. We don't believe that Indian snacks per se are going to be a profit driver for the company. They will never be an influence of our earnings per share, right? Because it's a low margin category by definition, and you have so many people around. However, it's a category which does make money for our distribution system. Our distribution system needs products to sell, right? So we need to be able to ensure that there are adequate number of products, right? So we've already sold peanuts and peas, right? And we are now, within the current year, we're just setting up machines, because we also are big believers that everything has to be done ourselves. So I would say in the next probably 6 months, maybe earlier than that, you'll see even a broader range of Indian snacks, which we had talked about when we met you all in November. But they will be facilitators. Our company will make our money from products which are strategic in nature. And they in turn, you know, so the focus will still be on products like peanut butter, Act 2 nachos, ready-to-eat popcorn, ready-to-cook popcorn, where we have competitive advantage. Okay. Probably the one category which we still to crack is extruded snacks, but that's work underway. We've got a decent turns now on both peanut butter and RT popcorn, you know, where we are getting up to almost like a 1.1 turns versus our capital expenditure. So as we get there on extruded snacks, we'll keep you posted. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Anish. Yes, ma'am. We can go to the next question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Three questions from my side, and I'll enumerate them. Sir, the foods growth, you mentioned for 15% for the whole year. Just wanted to confirm whether this includes the CSD and the vending business, and what would be the corresponding number for this quarter. Also, the ready-to-cook, I think you missed out the volume value numbers for the quarter, so if you can tell that. Second question would be on the gross margin, where you said that it is not comparable because of whatever GST and all, but on a sequential basis, I guess it's still comparable, and we are still seeing quite a good contraction there of around 290 pips. So what is driving that? And thirdly, sir, you mentioned on the ad spends about 2 crores in oils, 8 crores in snacks, and 3 crores in spreads for the year for Agrotech. And that just comes to around 13 crores, sir, but your full year advertising spend is 32 crores. So what is like the remaining portion, or how am I reading it wrongly? That would be it, sir.
Okay, so your first question is on foods. The second question is on margin. And the third question is on the ad spends. Okay, got it. Okay. So, Sabir, just to clarify, the foods include everything. So when I said 15%, it includes everything, right? Because that's the total that we see. So that includes modern trade, SFS, vending, CSD, CPC, whatever, or everything else. Okay, all right. So obviously, you know, within that, in case, and that's why I said that if you exclude the tax exempt channels, it will come to about 20 odd percent, and probably if we exclude the vending business, it will come to 21 or 22%. Okay. Specifically to your question on the quarter, so bear with me for a moment and we'll give that to you. It will come to about close to 13%, right, for the quarter. So the figure for the quarter is not very much different from the what the figure is for the year. It's in the same ballpark. Okay. In terms of gross margin, the answer is actually it's not comparable, right? And the reason is that there's been a huge amount of pass-ons that have happened as a consequence of all the benefits, right? Because you get some benefits, right? Some of those benefits are in the tax rate, some of them are in input tax credit, and some of them are actually in, on account of service tax, right? So that's why I said I'm going to, it's very difficult for me to give you a comparable gross margin figure. And even when we give you the director's report for the year, it's not going to be there in that in the annual report, because there is no number per se that we can give you, right? So you can do the maths in terms of, you know, the way you guys do it in terms of looking at the cost of goods sold, so on and so forth, right? But these are the factors that I've explained to you, right? So if you look at top line, there's a growth of about 25 crores in foods, and there is a reduction in the tax exempt channel, which also has a margin impact. The only other material factor that I'd like to say, and what has happened last year, is the fact that, as you know, a large part of our sundrop oils margin driver, the products that we sell at the top of the pyramid, were fairly, if you will, our model is based on a certain amount of volume decline and a certain amount of price increase, which we've been taking on an annual basis every year for the last several years. In the context of all that has happened also as a consequence of GST, we have avoided any price increases, right? Because those could have become contentious over the last year, right? Given all the priorities and what was being asked for as far as consumer good companies is concerned, that would have also had some impact on margin in the last year. Okay, so there is a few other factors there, and but that, I mean, I'll be able to describe the factors to you. I actually don't have a precise number which I can give you from an accounting standpoint. Okay. Lastly, as far as ad spend is concerned, there is a difference. The media, the spend that I gave you is the total media spend, right? So that excludes all the sales promotion spending that happens. So there is a two types of spending that we do. There is media spend, there is sales promotion spend, and there is money that we spend on production and making of TV commercials, so on and so forth. The reason for sharing the ad spends with you is not to give you a breakup of the A&P spending or where it is, right? We might be spending on many things, right? But it is more to give you a context of in the category what is happening and what are we doing relative to the category, right? Okay. So, for example, if we are spending less in the category, is it by design? Is it by choice? For example, on oils, it's very, very low spending. But that's a strategic decision that we made several years ago. Okay?
Sir, if you follow up, sir, sorry. I think you missed out the ready-to-cook volume value numbers for this quarter. So
I apologize. Yes, you're absolutely right. I stand corrected. I said it is flattish. I did say. I said it is flattish, which is similar to what it is for the full year. The volume growth is 4% on ready-to-cook. Yes, you're right. I didn't give you that figure.
And okay. Sir, this gross margin number question was more pertaining to the quarter. And what I meant was that from third quarter to fourth quarter, it is still comparable because the same pass-ons and input tax credit and those things would have played out in these two quarters. And there also we are seeing a reduction of around 290 bps. So what is driving that?
Yeah. So I think I've already answered that, right? If you're making an assumption that pass-ons are the same every quarter, that's not true, because benefits also change every quarter, Right?
Okay.
There's a lot of other factors that go into it, right? So, for example, if we buy a large machine equipment, right, and we get a benefit on that, then that is specific to that quarter. It's not specific to the prior quarter, right? Similarly, volumes also, depending on which category they are, the benefits can be different, right? So, it's not exactly the same. Okay?
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question is on the ready-to-cook business. Even if I exclude the CSD channels, your growth is about 6 to 8%, which is quite low in the context of the growth that we are seeing for other snack food players. So given that you have beefed up your feet on street, etc., just wanted to understand why the sales growth is a little anemic. That's question number one. Question number two is basically if you could give us some update on your 7-plant structure, where we are right now, and also the fact that in earlier conference calls you have mentioned that you will go aggressive on instant popcorn only after you have the 7-plant structure in place. So just wanted to ask if there is any rethink on that. I mean, even if we don't have 7 and if we have 6, is that such a big issue for you to sort of delay getting aggressive on this category since we have a first mover advantage in this already? So those are my two questions, sir.
So yeah, I think firstly the point is valid that, you know, ready to cook popcorn is certainly, forget other, our own growth on back snack is about, you know, in the region of about 40 to 50%, right? So it's certainly lower, and I don't think that we are going to play, it's going to play out that our ready to cook business is going to grow at 50%. It's not going to grow, right? There are certain advantages that ready to eat popcorn has, and there are certain competitive advantages that ready to cook popcorn has, right? It's also a larger business. So we'll have to see as we work towards, you know, getting a 500 crore business. It is possible that ready to eat and ready to cook might be of the same size, right? And therefore, definitely the growth rates of ready to cook are going to be lower than the growth rates of ready to eat, right? In terms of where it will play out, I think it is a business which continues to require significant distribution expansion. It is our largest, it is our most widely distributed product. And therefore, it does need that investment in feet on street. So it has grown. It has probably grown in the, you know, in the retail channels. Probably could even be in the traditional trade by more than 10%, right? I think we are not going to be looking at saying growth rate of 25% on ready to cook for the next 3 to 4 years. That is not going to happen, right? But will we continue to grow our snacks business in total? And deliver, you know, in a profitable manner, in a very robust manner as we have done, the answer is yes. There's no question about it.
May not be 25%, but does 15% seem more reasonable than the current growth that we have done, or even that sort of seems to be on the higher side?
Yeah, maybe. Let's see. I'm not going to commit to a specific number on anything. We have never committed to that, so I'm not going to commit. Your answer is, you know, your question has been expressed in a reasonable manner, so it's not to say it's unreasonable, right? Okay. So let us also see how things pan out over the current year. We expect to see continued disruption as far as the tax exempt channels are concerned. They continue to see some amount of turbulence. So I would say you will see a strong tax growth. In total, what is the composition between that of ready-to-eat popcorn, ready-to-cook popcorn, and in foods total with peanut butter, that we'll have to assess, right? So long as we are making our margin, we are okay, right? Certainly, would we expect at any point a reasonable growth on a larger category of double digit? I think that's a reasonable expectation, right? It's not an unreasonable expectation. However, much will also depend in the near term on, you know, where, how some of the tax exempt channel business goes. So we'll be reporting that to you with and without that, no problem. Okay?
Okay.
On coming back to 7-plant structure, yes, again, I think your point is right. In fact, even without the 7-plant structure, now we are actually, ready-to-eat popcorn has been doing extremely well, right? It's a big driver of growth for us last year in the back snacks business. And So it's not that we are going to wait till 7 plants and then we are going to say we press. Obviously, you know, we also, every time you set up a plant, you need revenue for the plant, right? You need to get a return on your assets. So it's already starting. And otherwise, we would not, you have seen, we've got a bag snacks growth in the region of about how much? Last year, in total revenue of about close to 50%. We wouldn't have got that 50% if we, already many of these plants had not started firing, right? So obviously, when we all start firing, the growth rates will be even more, right? But yeah, the answer is it's already underway. Okay.
Right, sir. Thanks. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you, Percy. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Manish Poddar from Renaissance Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Could, just a couple of questions. First, could you give us, let's say, the gross margin for the foods business and any indicative how is the EBITDA margin trailing for this year, F18? And what is the capex outlay, let's say, for 19 and 20, F19, F20?
See, we, as I said, we don't calculate the EBITDA by foods and oils, right? I mean, we calculate profitability at a total level. So we won't be able to give that to you, right? And also on gross margin, I have to repeat that I'm not able because nothing is comparable. It's very difficult for us to give you that. Broadly speaking, however, I can tell you that our gross margin, the way we calculate, is in the region of about 25 to 30% on the foods business, right? Somewhere probably midway there. That's the kind of number that we have in terms of what we are recording. And in terms of the other, what was the other question here? EBITDA, we don't calculate.
Would you be able to share the freight cost for the foods business?
Freight
cost, yeah, because freight cost was a bigger component of here, and I believe it was somewhere around 12-13% earlier.
Freight cost, I can say, yes, freight cost I can share. I can tell you that on our more compact items, which is ready to cook popcorn and peanut butter, our freight cost is in the region of 4-7%, right? So, you know, ready to cook popcorn has 2 plants, so that starts to become very effective. That starts to touch the 4% range. The peanut butter is a little higher, so that will be closer to the 7-odd% range. And the reason for that is that it's a single plant located in Guwahati. So, if you know, you're shipping all over the country. In terms of the bag snacks, the bag snacks are in the region. The popcorn and the extruded snacks are now in the region of about 12-13%. Tortilla chips is less, it's lower, it will be sub 10%. And the reason for that is that even though it's a single plant, the value per ton, recovery per ton is much higher. Okay? That we can do. Okay?
Okay. Just thank one you. Small thing, and other than the capex question, just on this same question,
yeah.
If you say that broadly your gross margin is about 25-30% and your freight cost is somewhere broadly in that 8-10% range, and I believe when you're calculating gross margin, you're not including ad spends, which is, you said your media spends were about 11 crores, and you know there'll be some other ad spend, so I believe over 20-odd crores, so another 10% up there. So would it be fair that your EBITDA margin for the business would be somewhere around 5-6% right now?
I won't be able to comment, honestly, Manish, because we don't look at it like that, you know. Okay, so, you know, I shouldn't be taking a guess either, okay? All right, so we don't look at it, we look at it in total. Right. Coming to your question last on CapEx, see, we spend in the region of about 12 to 15 crores on an annualized basis every year, right, out of our total cash flow. So, and that is a number that we have been spending. We would have spent that last year. We will probably be spending in that region this year as well, right? And that's required partly for balancing and capacity enhancement, but partly also for all the new products that we'll be bringing in, right? So we continue to be able to build our portfolio. We've built it from virtually no food business to having ready-to-cook popcorn, snacks, bag snacks, peanut butter. And I expect that in the next 12 months, we'll enter another 2 categories, right? So you'll also see there is some amount of capital work in progress in our balance sheet. I think it's about 15-odd crores or something like that, right? So that also is reflective of the work that we are currently doing on the new categories. Those new categories, we'll let you know as and when we launch.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers India. Please go ahead. Mayur, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Mayur.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, if I am maybe reading a bit too much on in between the lines, but just to understand, is there a change in the thought process with respect to the oil business in a slightly medium term? Because when you said that we'll like to have all our resources on the snack business, so is there a change in the thought process from what we were 1 year before, and we may look for other alternatives on that?
Any other question, Mayur?
Yeah, and secondly, I don't have the presentation and numbers in front of me. So, what would be the full year number for snack business and the oil business?
Okay, so maybe you'll find the full year business numbers in the early part of the conference call, right? So you'll have to look at that, and okay, the recording will be available very soon on the net. Okay, and on the oil business, no, absolutely not. There is no change in our vision for the company. We remain committed to be amongst the best performing food companies in the country. And that requires a transition away from oils into foods, right? And it's a choice that we made. It's nothing new. So even for the last 3 years, we have invested disproportionately in terms of foods versus oils. So if you actually go into our analyst presentations in the investor section on our website, you will find details for the last 4 to 5 years on where we are spending our money in which category, right? So those details are available. It will be consistently there that 75% to 80% of our spending actually happens on foods, and at times even more. The comment only made earlier was at some point in time we will move to virtually 100% on foods. That time has not reached right now, but it will happen in the near term. As you can see, once more than 50% of our business comes from the foods portfolio, then the gross margin that we'll be earning from the foods portfolio is going to be significant, right? So our dependence on the oil business will come down. We are in a transitionary stage. Until such time as we are dependent on the oil business for revenue and margin, more importantly for margin than for revenue, we continue to be able to do a delicate balancing act. That's all.
I understand. So the small, I know it may be a bit harping on that. Is the near term is 3 years plus or 3 years minus? That's all I'm, as a directional statement I'm looking for.
You know, it could be, why don't you take it at 3 years, okay? All right, I mean, you know, we spent 2 crores last year. It's nothing, right? So it could happen any time, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Right? In a context of spending 25, 30 crores, 2-3 crores is neither here nor there, to be honest. You know, it's less than 10% of the business, of the spend. All right, thank you. Thank you, Mayur.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one.
Okay, Aditya, so is there no further questions and we can close the call? Yeah?
So we have 2 more questions in the queue.
Okay.
Go ahead with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next question from the line of Anish Kanani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, would you be able to give us some sense of what is the critical mass in the food category which will be required to for us to become, say, a national level player with a decent spend both on the media spend as well as reaching the coverage that, you know, these say, top three guys are present in the categories of our choice, which is bag snacks and ready to eat. Is there some thought process or it will be more like a regional as we expand in various regions with plants coming up, we will have the required category to make a decent gross margin that, you know, we are aspiring.
So any other question?
No, sir, this was the question.
So this question, you're right, it's a very good question, it's a valid question. It's obviously subjective, right, because, you know, it's a management assessment. And we talk to other people also in the industry. In general, 200 odd crores is the level where you start to get some amount of scale. Okay. I'll explain how the journey works. A lot of companies get to 50 to 60 crores fairly easily, right, in terms of turnover.
Okay.
Because you can produce a 50, 60 crore turnover basically by going to about 3 to 5,000 stores in the country.
Okay.
Right? So what happens is you can go to a modern trade store, you can give them a good margin, right? You don't need to actually spend much A&P to reach a 50, 60 crore.
Right.
After you get past 50, 60 crore, it starts to become a challenge, right?
Okay.
Because you cannot move from 50, 60 crores to 100 crores without A&P investment, right? So you can get to, say, 50, 60 crores largely with below the line, and there are enough companies who are good examples of that. But to get to 100 crores, then you need to start spending on money, right? Money on media. And that is what obviously many companies struggle with, because the moment you spend money on media, then your EBITDA margin comes down. Then 100 crores is another bottleneck, right? You reach 100 crores, then you will find a lot of businesses which are stuck at about 100, 110 crores, right? We also took actually a lot of time when we reached 100 odd crores. From 100 to 200 also has taken us time to reach, right? So once you get to 200, you start to get to critical mass, right? You start to get to critical mass because, let's put it this way, 10% A&P spend on 200 crores is about 20 crores. So 20 crores starts to become a reasonable amount, right? Similarly, if you want to spend on sales force and coverage, right? Again, 10% is 20 crores. 20 crores can buy you probably about, let's say, you know, if you take all our 500 people who are on our subsidiary company payroll, they cost us about 13 crores, right? So 20 crores can buy you about, you know, 700 or 800 people, right? So if you look at different people, generally the figure that you will get will be in the region of 200 crores. That is why I said earlier in the call, I think 200 crores is a nice place for us to reach. And from here, we can, you know, certainly it will not, within the business itself, it is not going to be as challenging as it was, say, let's say, to go from 0 crores to 50 crores, something like that. Okay?
Sure, sure. So the scale benefit should start to percolate down, and the conversion from gross margin to EBITDA margin can be faster from here on, but for our new investments in the category that we want to intend to enter, right?
Correct. You already, you know, we are already seeing that. You know, we are already now, the peanut butter plant, we're getting, you know, we had an investment of 36 crores. We've got more than 1.1 tons. It's somewhere now running at about 40, 45 crores of turnover. So you're already seeing the benefit of that. The gross margins are looking good. The product is flowing through. Life is much easier. Right? But obviously, to get to full benefits of scale, it's easier to do it on one plant than it is to do it on a 5-plant network or a 7-plant network, right? Because a single plant means it's like a hypermarket versus a supermarket, right? A hypermarket is easier to run, it's easier to get scale from a hyper than it is to get from a super. So multi-plants are more complex, but the returns are there because you have a wide distribution network. Okay.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Anand from Nanolia Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is, are we planning any pricing action in Q1 FY19?
Any other question, Rajiv?
No, sir.
Okay, right. I won't be able to give you any answer on pricing, Rajiv. I don't think it's, you know, we've ever given it. So, you know, I won't be able to answer any question on pricing. Apologies, right? I can answer other questions. But pricing is, you know, if pricing related to market, there's a lot of competitive areas there. And, you know, as and when, if there is pricing, we will let you know after the event, right? But I don't think it will be correct to give you any position on next one or even the quarters after that. Okay? I apologize. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Aditya Joshi from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers.
Yeah, hello, sir. Sir, I just have one question. This is pertaining to the Act 2 Naturals that we have launched. Sir, any plans of getting smaller SKUs in price range of 10, 20 or 30? Because competition has already come in that space.
Yeah, so Naturals, we are now actually available at 25 rupees, right? And so we are, I think, We are well placed in the very well placed. Today we are probably the, you know, a very good value for money. We had only one other player who was earlier below us, that was Mexico's, right? They have, actually, I'm not sure where they are and what their intentions are, but I don't see them spending money, and so I'm not sure whether they'll be continuing to be in the category. Let's see how things pan out. I mean, it's obviously difficult to comment on their intentions. And the only other person in Nacho's available at 10 rupees has been Pratap Snacks. They, I think, have been available since January onwards, at least that we've been seeing. So they've been there for about 4 months or so. I think it's a very limited, presence that we see for them. You see, the challenge is the 10 rupee segment can't be run the same way a 5 rupee segment can be run, right? The 10 rupee segment needs the retailing. It needs that retailing power. It needs the sales force. It needs the supervisor. It can't be run on a large scale bulk, bulk basis. So I would say maybe we'll see other players coming in at 10 rupees, but which is probably the only viable gap today, right? It's difficult to see a 5 rupees. It's possible, not impossible, but then the freight will start to become a barrier, and it's not so easy to set up multiple tortilla chip plants as it is, let's say, to set up an extruder or a popcorn line. So probably we will look at seeing if there is a need to be at 10 rupees as we grow, because now we've got a second line. So we'll see how the capacity utilizations go. If need be, we'll probably launch at 10 rupees. But other than that, I think we are in a very sweet spot. You can check our pricing in the market versus Doritos. You can check versus any other player. Today, we are probably very, very well distributed relative to any of our competitors in the tortilla chips category. And that's the reason why we believe we are the number two player in the category today.
Got it, sir. And sir, when was this launched? 25 rupees back?
So this has more now, it's been in the market, I would say, for about since February.
Okay, sir. That's it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Aditya. Okay. I guess we are done now, ma'am. We can close. So, I'd just like to say thank you on behalf of Arijit and myself and Aditya for taking the time out to join us today. And, hopefully we provided you sufficient coverage for you to understand the business. And wish you all a good quarter, and we'll talk to you after 3 months. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, doctor.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.